Greetings and welcome to this week's episode of Vertical View. In this episode, I'll talk to my good friend Darren Schopp, who has an extensive background in leadership, both here in the States and all around the globe. Darren and I will dive into the topic of leadership, touching on mentorship, attributes of a successful leader, and answering the question, how do you continue to grow and develop as a leader? All of that and more on this week's episode of Vertical View. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. Welcome back to Vertical View. With me today is Darren Schopp, my good friend Darren. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
I am well, man. It's good to have you on. And for those of you who are listening, we can actually see each other via FaceTime, and it's a beautiful sight.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, Darren, let's get right into it. And one of the biggest questions I asked when I first met you, actually your dad, was how in the world do you spell your last name?
It's spelled like it sounds. Is that the answer you got?
That's the answer I got.
S-C-H-A-U-P-P, spelled just like it sounds, shop.
And the second question is, what's the hidden meaning behind the spelling of your name?
Yeah, probably immigration.
Yeah, there's clearly some hidden meaning behind it.
Well, okay, so it's German, you know.
Yes.
And it probably comes from the word for wheat. Yeah. So now you have to interpret why. Why would we be named after wheat? So it could be maybe there were farmers in our history, maybe peasants, or
maybe brewmeisters.
Exactly where I what exactly what I was thinking. So I think that's part of our German heritage, I feel sure.
Well, I love that. And that's actually the name of this segment, Shop or Shop. Let's go to question two. What are your three favorite places to travel to? Because if people go online and read about Darren Schopp, spelled like it sounds, S-C-H-A-U-P-P, man, they're going to look up all the places that you have been through Samaritan's Purse and now American Leprosy Mission. Mm. So what are the three favorite places that you've traveled to?
Oh my goodness, that is a hard choice because I love variety. Well, one of the things that stands out immediately as my all-time favorite is the island of Zanzibar. So this is a small Muslim nation or Muslim island. It's connected to Tanzania, the country in East Africa. And you get there either by taking a very slow dhow boat or you can take a hydrofoil. And you go across the bay, you land on this island. It's just gorgeous. It's like stepping back into time. Old Arabic communities or Arab influenced communities that have been there for centuries. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. Love that. So that's definitely one.
So that's one. Is that number one or is that one of three?
If I just had a choice of a place to hang out on vacation, that would absolutely be top of the list.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what are two, three?
Oh, man. So let's say for the complexity and the beauty of the people and the challenge, South Sudan is probably one of my tops. It is rugged. The people, whether they're the Nuer or the Dinka, are just beautiful people. They've gone through an enormous amount, as you may know, through all of the war that's happened there, but incredibly resilient. South Sudan just kind of holds a special spot in my heart.
And then, so that's two. And let's just set the record straight. So my top two would be Myrtle Beach.
Oh, that's a great spot.
And Galway in Ireland. So that gets a little bit closer to travel, you know. So what's number three?
Oh, this is really tough. I just love variety. So in the US, one of the favorite spot that I have so far is Zion National Park.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
Like
we were there 4 years ago.
oh, it's fantastic. That Angel's Landing hike that makes you just want to pee your pants when you go up
Yeah.
that ridge. Oh my word.
Yeah,
That
and
is
you know the
fantastic.
story about that. My kids, Emma and Seth hiked it. And of course, we didn't know it was one of the most dangerous hikes in all of the world until after they got
They
back.
forgot to tell you that, didn't
That was a good thing. So, did you actually do the hike?
Yeah, we did it, and going up, it was pretty clear. There weren't a lot of people, but then coming down, there were people just going crazy going up that thing. And I was sure we were going to lose some people off the edge, but it is gorgeous. I just love that place.
So there's three places that Darren has been, and really a variety, like you said. And so, like I said earlier, you have traveled all over the world, a lot of it for your job.
That's
And
true.
so travel is a big part of the job. So where have you been most recently for work and why?
Well, before the whole coronavirus epidemic happened, I was at the University of Cambridge in England. And as you know, we've got research that goes on there. In fact, our director of research and innovation is based there at University of Cambridge in the UK. And I love that place. Like it's so historic. And of course, you can go to places where they shoot movies and that sort of thing, and remember different scenes, things that have happened. It's great heritage. But yeah, we were there to discuss some of the amazing work that we do in infectious diseases, and meeting with other researchers there at University of Cambridge. It was fantastic. So we were bringing together different groups to brainstorm about what's possible using some of the technology at Cambridge.
And when you say we, who are the we?
So it was the team from American Leprosy Missions, and there were researchers from the University of Cambridge. There were representatives and researchers from the Novartis pharmaceutical company, and from what's called STFC, or the Science and Technology Facility Council of the UK. And so they do research on for the space station and all kinds of stuff. It's incredibly high end. So one of our meetings we held at Accelerator is where we do part of our research, like CERN. And we had researchers from Brazil, from a group called Fiocruz, which is like the Brazilian government's equivalent of the National Institute of Health here in the US. So it was a fantastic group. All of them love innovation and brainstorming. We really had a great time.
So, for our listeners, I know you well enough to know that you love those types of settings.
Oh, yes.
You love the think tanks. You love getting sticky notes out. You love swapping ideas back and forth. So, tell the listeners, what's your main focus as a leader within the American Leprosy Mission?
Well, I am incredibly blessed. My official title is Vice President of Innovation and Ventures at ALM. And that is really what I focus on. So it is trying to come up with new ways of innovation, doing things in new ways, or inventing new technologies, whatever it is, you're trying to do something new to accomplish something that you haven't been able to accomplish before. So for us, we're trying to accelerate the end of disease or improve the well-being for people in some of the most marginalized communities in the world. People who've been affected by leprosy or other neglected diseases like that. So that's on the innovation side. And then on the ventures, part of our vision is to see what we can spin off and create new businesses. So, as a typical nonprofit, you operate, and American Leprosy Mission is 113 years old. And so we've been doing good around the world for a long time. And typically that is we give away what we do and our services. But what if we can create new ways to do the work that we do and also earn revenue through it? And that's a business model. That's there's a new phrase, or not a new phrase, but a more recent phrase called social impact investing. And we're using that lens to try and have an impact on people that we care about, but also have a business outcome as well.
I love that. And I love every time that I speak with you, I learn a new phrase or catch word in the industry.
I look it up right before we talk. That's why.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, it gets me every time. So I'll use a question that you just asked me. What if there were two things that you wanted people to know about ALM?
Mm.
What are the two things that you would want them to know? You're in an elevator and you've got a couple floors to tell people about ALM. Mm. What is it?
Oh. Well, the first thing, people can Google about American Leprosy Missions and understand what we do. But what I love about ALM is our number one focus is the people. The people who have been affected by disease are why we exist. It is what we live for, to fight for them, fight with them. They're at the heart of everything we do. And that's part of what I love about ALM. And the reason that's important is because the second thing is we're not all about leprosy. As the name gives us some historical footing and some heritage, it is why we started. But because we focus on people who live in remote areas like the rainforest of the Congo care about more than just leprosy. They suffer from other things than just leprosy. So we care about what they care about and what's affecting that. So that can be their water and sanitation and hygiene. That can be other diseases that are in the area. And so because people are at the heart of what we do, we care about what is affecting their lives. I love that.
Yeah, and I love how passionate you are. And of course, I've not met all the other leaders within ALM, but if they're as passionate about the job as you are, you guys are well on your way to eradicating some of the things and issues that the very people that you're talking about are dealing mm-hmm. with.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, Darren, we've talked a little bit about you, about American Leprosy Mission, and we've sensed the passion of what your job entails and how you're dumping not necessarily just your work, but really the joy and the energy and the desire really comes out as you talk about it. And right now I'd like to be able to transition from that to, let's talk more general leadership.
Okay.
All right. So let's start with this question. And I'm prepared too to kind of go back and forth with you on this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So who are the three people that you look up to for leadership, inspiration, and or mentorship?
Hmm. Oh my goodness. See, this is kind of like that question about your top three travel places. I love variety, and it is so hard to choose. All right. So there's a guy who passed away recently in the fall named Clayton Christensen. And he was a professor at Harvard, and I love his work, like, and his heart as well. He's a believer and really powerful, powerful thinker. He had this, in fact, if you have a chance to Google one of his speeches from maybe 2012 or sometime around then about how you measure your life, it's an example of how he blended his heart and his thinking. But he wrote a book that most people know about called The Innovator's Dilemma. And he also had this story that he used to tell, which I still think about a lot in my work, is about the job milkshake. And ask the question, what job do you have a milkshake to do? And it was a way to get people to think differently about products and customers and marketing. And instead of thinking about it in your kind of, oh, we need to revise a milkshake to have these flavors because this is what people want. Try to understand really what is it that a customer wants that product to do for them. And so he would ask the customers, like, what are you hiring? After somebody would buy a milkshake, what are you hiring that milkshake to do? It's a hilarious, you can Google it, and it's just a great, fresh way to look at it. So he's definitely one of mine that has just been an inspiration to me for years.
I love that. And I love it just because we're talking about milkshakes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if that doesn't win you over, forget it.
I mean, I want a milkshake to make me feel awesome. So let me shoot one at you.
All right.
So one of my top three people is Walt Disney.
Ooh.
And you and I have talked about Walt, mm-hmm. as it may be. And just his imagination, what he had inside his brain.
Mm.
And then the belief to go out and really make it come to life. Because people thought he was nuts to build something in the middle of Florida, swamp.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and he had this humongous imagination. And what later has become a storyboard that he had drawn out. He had taken it from his brain and his heart and put it on a storyboard. And then basically made it come true.
Mm.
And I'm fascinated by that. And I'm still fascinated by it today that it continues on.
Yeah. Is that not amazing?
So Walt Disney would be one of my three.
Mm.
So who do you have for number two?
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. All right. So number two, I'm going to take it to a total level.
As if the Harvard professor didn't take it anyway.
Oh yeah, this is just a different level. I didn't say it. I didn't say it's higher, lower, anywhere else. But it's higher for me on a personal nature. So this second person is a guy who had met with me for breakfast for years and really mentor to me. And that's somebody you know, Whitener. Mm. So local business owner, really good thinker. Part of what I was always amazed at about Ken was that he continued to be mentored. In fact, somebody else who passed away the fall of last year is Claude Marchbanks, which was his mentor.
Yes.
And that discipline to meet with someone and have them speak into your life, I just admire that. And it's something that I've tried to do as well. And Ken is just one of those people who taught me an enormous amount, a lot of times through questions that he would ask. He's very, as you know, he's very direct. He does not beat around the bush. He taught me a lot about leading with integrity instead of duplicity, and which is very frankly, it's a weakness of mine, of how to lead in a way that is truly authentic. And not trying to beat around the bush or go another route. And his directness just doesn't allow you to it doesn't survive under his scrutiny. So he's somebody that for me has really impacted my life.
And that's a good one. And I know Ken, or as mm-hmm. the locals call him, Bubba.
Yep. Good right. old Bubba.
And so I actually am looking forward to having breakfast and a conversation with him in the near future.
Oh, that's a treat.
So let's wrap up first question with your third leader that inspires you or mentors you.
Well, this is at another level. So this is, again, it's hard to choose. But I have a group of friends that I know are for me. Like at the end of the day, I know they have my back, even if they're tough, they ask tough questions, but these are my real mates and the guys that I do life with. And you're one of those that have been.
Good plug.
Yes. And you know, I think what's important about it is that it has made me a better person. It inspires me when we meet and talk and start the ideas start going. that sort of thing. It just, I go back to what I do with this fresh energy, and it's just, it is super cool. And it's not that it's always easy. Like, you and I both know that it, like, friendship has to be worked on, has to be maintained. Sometimes you're just mad at the other person because of something they say, it hits you wrong, whatever. And it's just like that. But having people around you who are really, you know, that they're for you, you know, is yes. just like, oh my word, it doesn't get better. And I feel like that's made me a better leader. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to second that there's great value.
You don't have to use me as your third one.
Yeah, and I don't, yeah, yeah. Let's move to question two.
Yeah. Great.
What are the most important attributes of successful leaders today? And this may have changed really within the last couple months.
Ooh.
Right? Like, there's so much that's different now, but yet there's probably a number of things that you and I have talked about in leadership that really just carries all time. So I'm interested to know what are some of the most important attributes?
So if you go back to your question about the attributes to be successful, I think so much depends on, do you know what success is that you're trying for? Mm-hmm. Because there are attributes that make you successful in the world's eyes, or even in an organization, or even in a particular scenario, that I have no interest in emulating in my life, but they do make you successful. Absolutely.
Sure. Sure.
So just knowing what that is, so the things that come to mind as being top of my list, number one would be self-awareness. Like, if I had one thing to be true of me that I want to be more and more true, it's that. And it speaks to that integrity issue. Mm-hmm. Like, do I know myself well enough to even know when I'm being authentic?
Yep.
So, and there's all kinds of tools to help your friend, those friend connections, the ones who can really speak into your life. Oh man, they can help you be self-aware.
Yep.
You know,
it's always good to have somebody who can call you out.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And I've had those people both in the office and at home.
Mm.
Who can just say, hey, you're really out of line today, or something's going on. You're not being you.
Mm.
And do you know, or do you need to talk about it?
Yeah. But, and having somebody, those are not always people who you feel like are for you.
True.
Right?
True.
But that doesn't mean that they're wrong. And that ability to hear from people and still grow in self-awareness has been so stinking hard for me. Mm. But it is an attribute that I believe is incredibly powerful when it is true of leaders. Probably the second one, I think it's understanding how to focus on your strengths. And on strengths in general. And so it's rooted in that first one and being aware enough, but it's not just your strengths. It allows, when you can lead well, you know how to focus on other strengths. And I know that sounds like really typical or whatever. Oh yeah, we're a strengths-based organization or whatever, but I have found it is so rare, and it's actually not very natural for many of us to do it even to ourselves. We tend to notice our own weaknesses. We notice other people's weaknesses, and we hammer down on those things. And if you go at the root of this, Don Clifton and Marcus Buckingham wrote a book years ago about discovering your strengths. And that came out of Gallup research and the strengths movement. And we use that at work. It's one of the most powerful tools that we use for us in our leadership development. But knowing yourself well enough to say, this is what I do well, and it will maximize my benefit to the organization when I focus on these things that I do well. Like, don't you love that feeling when somebody points that out in you and they call it out in you and affirm it? And it just takes you to the next level.
And so I take that into you know, my most of my background, in particular in leadership, has been coaching. And so instead of focusing on what we couldn't do, we always tried to put our student athletes in a position to where they would be successful.
Mm.
And so we had to, like you said, identify what were each player's strengths.
Mm.
And then mix that together with a group of five, and then always trying to find the next strength that fit when we went to a rotation. So
fascinating.
I find that interesting that rolls over into everyday leadership outside of sport.
Yeah.
And into the office, where why aren't we focusing on the various strengths? Because we do. We often look at it and go, well, that person dilly-dallies all the time.
Oh, totally.
They just can't stay focused on the task at hand.
Yeah, I never liked that person for that reason.
And we think about that rather than to go, yeah, but sometimes that way of thinking actually slows us down to be able to actually ponder and maybe have to reevaluate.
Mm. Mm.
So even what we would see as a weakness, maybe it does become something that has to be or needs to become a strength for the team.
Mm.
And I'm taking that in a totally different direction. But
no, that's fascinating, because I bet you did see that not only as a coach, but think of when, as you were directing many coaches, was it the same way for you? Like you could just see which coach had certain strengths? And
yes. Yeah, and which had to be dialed back because every coach is used to being the alpha. And then when we were all on the same team, everybody can't be alpha.
Mm.
And so we struggled at times to take a teammate mentality rather than the coach mentality.
Mm. Mm.
And that's where it became very easy to think about people's weaknesses rather than strengths.
Hmm.
So let me throw a couple of things that I've been thinking about in this area, successful leaders today.
Yeah.
Three things, realistic positivity,
hmm.
adaptability,
mm-hmm.
and connection. And I kind of see the connection piece as the self-aware and almost the focus on strengths in more of a broad sense, because especially today where you're away from each other.
Yeah.
Because of social distancing, the connection piece is really, really important. Just somebody checking in on me and then knowing what I need. And in some ways that's a reverse self-awareness.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right? That makes sense.
But as a leader, you're so self-aware that you know that I need a call, or you know that I don't need a call. So I'm wondering what would be one thing, if maybe it's one of those three, but in today's COVID-19, what's that thing right now that maybe a successful leader, what attribute do they have, or are they developing?
Tell me what you were thinking about adaptability. That one just like stands out to me. I mean, they're all, I like them all, but that one in this time, that just seems highlighted. So what were you thinking there?
Well, I'm thinking, and again, very broad.
Mm.
It's so many different things right now. One, it's using, like we're using FaceTime right now to see each other.
Mm.
I would have never thought about that before.
Yeah.
It was there, but I didn't think, well, my coach is on the road, or my other leader friend is in the UK.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have been on the phone, or I just would have connected through email.
Yeah.
You know, and so in today's world, it seems like we've adapted to Zoom,
mm-hmm.
FaceTime, and these things aren't new, but yet we've made the change.
Mm.
And I'm going to be honest, I think it's very positive.
Mm.
I hope it doesn't take away the face-to-face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one example of how I think leaders are adapting in today's leadership world.
I really like that. And I think there's probably has been highlighted no more starkly than it has in the last few months, where all of your normal means of connecting your normal means of advancing as an organization suddenly get stripped away from you. And that necessity, being the mother of invention, has really forced us to adapt to a lot of things. I think what's really critical for leaders, though, is that ability to put adaptation into some sort of context and direction. So one of my top things for leaders is this ability to see the future, not have a crystal ball, which none of us have, but actually understand that today's actions are not just about today, and they're not just based on what success was yesterday, but it's really about what change you want to make tomorrow. And so then adaptability has some purpose and some reason. Like you begin to push out what could happen, what is possible, and then how do you adapt to it? So if you as a leader begin to think, what might this look like in 12 months or 18 months? And then how do we need to start adapting? Like, what technology do we need to invest in? Or let's take the time to train our people really, really well on the IT side, because IT is going to be part of our life. Whatever that may be, whatever that adaptation is for your environment. So I really like that one.
So we've kind of talked a little bit about, I'll use the word adapting to move to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, how do you continue to grow and develop as a leader? So what are some of the things that you've made some adaptations to?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think you've already mentioned is that you've either met with people face to face. But what are some of the other things that you're doing? And maybe also I would ask you to go a little deeper than that, is once you've started to do that thing,
mm-hmm.
what have you noticed about yourself?
Oh my, yeah, that does take it to another level.
Again, it's not a Harvard professor, but it does take it to another level. I mean, Clayton Christian is getting a lot of play in this podcast today.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. As well he should. Wow. Yeah. So one of the biggest ways that I invest in myself in growing and developing is I love to read and to listen to things. So podcasts, articles, books, but that's one of my strengths. One of my top strengths is a learner, in the 34 strengths of Gallup. And so that's just very natural for me to, I'm just hungry for information. In this context, that doesn't really get disrupted.
Right.
That's really interesting. Like I've noticed I actually have more time because I have, more time in the evenings. I don't spend as much time commuting. I have more time to read. But it is interesting. I've had much less time to listen because I normally have time in my car and I listen to a podcast while I'm driving or something like that. So that I hadn't really thought about it before, but that is something
interesting
that I have been missing.
Yeah. I knew that the reading of books was a big deal for you, and we're going to get to that in a second. And I also know that you listen to a great number of podcasts, and hopefully Vertical View is one of those.
Oh, top of the list, baby.
But what are some of the other things that you've either done in the past? And Darren, maybe it's not even something that you thought about and intentionally did. Right. Maybe it's something that, man, you just kind of stumbled upon. And you're like, man, that really, I just figured something out there. But what are some other ways that you've seen yourself develop as a leader?
Well, probably the single best investment, I believe, that ALM has made into us as leaders, and I've been at American Leprosy Missions about 7.5 years now, and they invested... The CEO made a decision a couple number of years ago to pay for a leadership coach that we each spend time with. Every 2 weeks we have time with that. And I'll give a plug here to Bold Move International. Ross Robinson and his wife Janice Robinson run that organization. And I mean, they are fantastic. That has been the single best investment we've made in ourselves as leaders that I have experienced in my life. And what's really interesting to me is I see this happening in our kids now, where there's much more attention to counseling and going and get support, even at a young age, something we never thought about in our college years.
Sure.
And I feel like that's very similar. Like if I think for us, the counseling that Cindy and I've been to has felt a lot like coaching. And so that's part of, maybe it's a blend there. I don't know if Ross feels the same way. He probably does feel like a counselor sometimes.
Sure.
But
sure.
Oh my goodness, that has just broken me open in different ways that I would never have tried to go there myself, been able to go there myself. So having somebody with expertise to really do some of that deeper work, oh my goodness, that's been powerful.
And I love that. And I love that you gave the plug, because I think people are more open to that nowadays than ever before.
Yeah.
I'll go back to my early coaching years, and I was frustrated that I seemingly couldn't get some of my players to respond the way I wanted them to respond to my coaching.
Interesting.
And this is kind of a back end of what you just talked about, but in the summertime, then your student athletes leave college, they go home, and they sometimes work summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's usually a number of other coaches who are there. And I remember getting a phone call after one of my student athletes worked a camp. And she called and she said, "Hey coach, I just got to tell you, I was working this camp and these other coaches were around and they were saying the same stuff you've been telling me for the last year. And I just realized you're not as dumb as I thought you were."
Ooh.
And that actually validated me.
Absolutely.
Right. And at the same
time, fantastic.
It actually opened up my eyes to say, you know what? It is okay to have other people speaking in.
Oh yeah.
I think it goes back to what you said, the heart of the person who's speaking into you.
Mm.
As coaches, we sometimes get concerned about it because we think, well, they're going to steal my player. But I think at the end of the day, if you were to say coaches or coaching or a leader, we all are in it for the business to develop people.
Mm. Mm.
However that happens,
mm.
whether they're on my team, in my case, in athletics, or whether they're on ALM's team, or in this case, this leadership coaching that you've been able to get a part of, you're not on their team, but you've been able to garner information from them and feedback, and all it's done is, like you said, it's made you a better leader in turn.
That's so true. Yeah. And how many times have I come back and said something to Cindy about, "Oh, well, Ross told me this," and Cindy gives me that look like, "Yeah, I already told you that."
Well, and that just goes without saying.
Yeah.
Especially because we're recording this on Mother's Day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so yes. Shout out to all our moms,
huge
our wives.
Shout out. Oh, my word.
You are always right. Let's quickly transition out of that. And you've talked a little bit, Darren, about how you love and you love to just kind of pull information in a particular, using the medium of books and or listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
Are there a couple books or even journals or magazines, even for that matter, that you get on a regular basis?
Comic
are
books. There, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Dr. Seuss guy, and I'm telling you, what are three books that there's a young leader coming up and you want to invest in them? What are three books that you would give to that person? Mm.
Ooh, that puts a little twist on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you might not get the book back. So maybe that has a little bit of the way you answer this too. I don't know.
Well, I tell you one that not, Not a lot of people have read. Well, that's probably not fair to the author. It's rated well on Amazon. Maybe we'll just scratch that part.
Yeah.
So it's the book Visioneering by Andy Stanley. And it's a bit dated. Well, that's probably not that fair either. It hasn't been that long, but it is.
This is a great book, everyone.
Yeah. let me plug it again. That is it's a good overview of what it means to have vision. And I think for especially somebody who has that passion for leadership and that inclination, that drawing towards something, vision just speaks your love language. And the way he goes about helping define what vision is, how you go about solidifying that and clarifying it in your own life is just great. So that's definitely one.
What would be two on the list?
So this would be a different angle. It's one that I actually just read recently. It's a little bit older, called The Lean Startup by Eric Ries.
You had that on the table when we talked last.
Oh, man, I love that book. And part of it is because he builds on some of the work that Christensen had done and others have done in the whole area of innovation. But if you're starting up a business, that is a fantastic read as far as the nuts and bolts of what it means to run a startup, which is really where we are now within our organization. He gets really deep into the details. So the nerdy part, if you really want to extract all the value out of it. But we love the whole lean experimentation process. It's something we use a lot at ALM. And so if you're not familiar with lean and but you are into that startup phase as a business, oh, it's great.
So I'm going to give you two books.
All right, go for it.
All right. So,
You already said.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get there.
Right.
Team of Rivals. It's basically talking about Lincoln when he got into the presidency, surrounding himself with his cabinet, essentially. And some of those people were actually rivals. And it goes back a little bit to what you were talking about earlier. Surrounding who do you surround yourself with? And in his case, he was willing to listen to people who were just basically at some point trying to beat him in an election, but that he knew was going to speak the most, I don't know if I can use the phrase, honest truth. And maybe sometimes not the most honest truth, and to hear all different angles. And there's a lot in that book, and it's a long book. But I love the history and the angles of someone who's led our country and the history of the country.
That's really cool.
Two is, and I have it right here on my desk, and it is a Dr. Seuss book. It's Green Eggs and Ham. And I, honestly, you know this, I use Sam I Am, who I also have under my desk.
I'm looking at him right now.
As a story, really, to talk about perseverance. I mean, because clearly the guy that he was trying to get to eat green eggs and ham didn't want green eggs and ham.
Clearly.
But yet, Sam I Am just didn't let it go.
Mm.
Some might find him annoying, or some might just find him to be persistent and willing to continue to keep going when somebody says you can't do that.
I love the way you went from Abraham Lincoln to Dr. Seuss.
I take this to it. All different lows, not highs, lows. Is there a third book you're about to hand it off to a leader who is saying, hey, Darren, I see what you're doing. I'm inspired by what you do. Is there something that you would give me that I should read because I really want to be better as a leader? Is there a third book that you would give
this out? This is going to be cheating. But The third suggestion would be a source that has multiple reviews in it, because you can skim through and get a lot of stuff. So for example, depending on what space you're in, Harvard Business Review is great for that. Like, you just get quick overviews of some of the latest thinking and stuff. That's great. If you're in the social innovation space, the Stanford Social Innovation Review, SSIR, that's a great one. And then McKinsey puts out like a regular stream of reviews and thought. They have all kinds of thought leadership on the subject of leadership, especially in times like these. So finding something that's a bit of a summary of things to me is great, because it's easy. I can catch up quickly, and then I can go deep if I want to go deep into something.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's a little bit off. Yeah, I know you did. It's a little bit off the path, but actually, in the way we learn, sometimes it's better to take in small snippets, and then whatever starts to hit you, you go a little deeper, like you said. Darren, let's end it with this question.
Mm.
And this is going to be something that it's up to you how personal or how deep you want this to go. But what's the most important risk you've taken?
Hmm.
And why?
Yeah, I'm going to go shallow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We were playing a board game the other night.
Stratego. Risk.
Oh, the most important risk I took. Hmm. You know, it seems like, you've heard this phrase before, that leaders have a bullseye on their back, that one of your fundamental roles is to help the organization and your teams into places that they wouldn't necessarily go themselves. And not just to push from behind, but actually lead ahead. And that is always risky, I believe. But when I think about one of the most important risks that made a difference for me personally, was actually fairly recently, a couple of years ago, when I decided to stay in a fight. And this is not for everybody. I'm not recommending this for all situations, but the context was that in our leadership team, as we were growing as leaders, as we were getting a lot of coaching, we were working on being more direct and challenging each other directly. There's a book called Radical Candor, which is fantastic for this, mm-hmm. For a team, mm-hmm. but not easy, not at all easy. And there was a situation where basically it was an intervention for me that the team was not liking the way that I was engaging on various issues. And I mean, I got hammered, and it was super difficult. And you helped walk with me through some of that journey. That was a really, really tough time.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I've had some of those things before, which is surprising, as amazing a person as I am. Like, how could anybody just love that? And there have been times where I've not stayed in the fight. And it was maybe the right decision to step out and leave the situation. But in this case, I decided to stay in, and that I was going to work through this with the team. Take the shots that I needed to take on the chin as best as I could, even though I really hated it and I resisted all of that. And the payoff for me over the last few years has it can be validated by asking my wife, Cindy. she can tell you. That's the real measure of things. But it has opened up depths in me that I would never want to go back to before.
Yeah.
Things that I just could not see about myself, and how my leadership was not being very constructive for other people in certain ways. And anyway, that's just what risk. That was a conscious decision to stay in and continue to hear what people or at least try my best to hear what people were having to say that I needed to hear even though I didn't think I needed to hear it. In fact, I thought they needed to hear some things, which is my typical MO.
Sure. You know,
I'm normally focused on what other people are doing wrong and how they need to improve.
Sure.
And this was, it was a really, really good choice. And highly recommend it, though. Do it with some supportive friends around you who can help you pick up those pieces and walk through that journey.
And I know how difficult a time that was, but I also see where you've moved to today. And I'll second, along with your wife, Cindy, you are better for it, as hard as it was. And we're glad that you shared that with us, because there are many people, in particular the leaders who are listening today, who need to hear that sometimes you do have to stay in the fight. Mm-hmm. And you do have to carry on even through that hard moment. Mm-hmm. Well, we're so glad that Darren Shop, spelled like it sounds,
exactly,
is able to join us today on the Vertical View. If you want to learn more about Darren and the American Leprosy Mission, you can go to leprosy.org. And we're just so thankful that Darren, the Vice President of Innovation and Ventures from American Leprosy, joined us today. Thanks, Darren.
You bet, buddy.
Well, we have reached the end of another episode of Vertical View. If you love Vertical View, please subscribe, rate, and give us reviews on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, or any of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. Also, for more information about me, follow me on Twitter at @VE_executive. For now, I'll see you next time at the Vertical View.